Shalom, God bless you all, dear brethren. Before we sing one song, let's read the scripture. The book of Proverbs, chapter 15, 1-5, verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man had joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? Verse 33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. Before honor is humility. Chapter 19, verse 20. Let us read these words of wisdom from the Lord's vessel before we sing the song. Chapter 19, verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy later end. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord shall stand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sing the song, In the Eye of the Storm. Let's all sing it with joy, heart of gratefulness. 4, 5, 8.
Like a ship sailing out on an adventure at the dawn, so far I go, so far I go.
Blessed Redeemer, we thank you, Lord, for granting us peace against all the odds, against all the trials, all the battles that may come against the child of God,
to destroy the life of the child of God. But Lord, we have the assurance that we can rest, we can find peace, we can hold on to the joy of salvation. No matter what, come what may, and we all say as one family of God, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Because, oh Lord, whatever the challenges, the trials that we all go through, it is all not permanent, but it is all a momentary, a temporary trial, oh Lord, which will be erased from all our memories. When we see your face, oh Lord, everything will disappear. Whatever that will enter into eternity will stand forever and ever, for the foundation of God is sure. And Lord, there is no one can destroy God's promises in our life. There is no one can defeat the purpose of God in our life. And Lord, as we read the words of life today, may you bless us, O Lord, that we hold on to the purpose of God in our life. May the counsel of God be established in all our lives, that we will understand what it is for all of us to do that glorifies your name. What it is there that we all of us should embrace that pleases your spirit. Come, O Lord, come and fellowship with us, touch us, feed us, help us to drink into the spirit, and bless us, O Lord, that we are all going to rejoice in your presence, for the word of the Lord is life, the spirit of the Lord is life. And Lord, we invite thy presence, that may you utter the words in your spirit, that we may all find life, that we may all find restoration, revival, renewal, healing as a whole. For we are all the bride of Jesus Christ, preparing for thy coming. The time is near, and Lord, help us to be sincere, grateful, thankful, diligent, and Lord, to be faithful. For you have called us by name and you loved us first. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray and stand for the sermon. Amen and amen. God bless you all, dear brethren. We thank the Lord for the worship. We thank the Lord for the testimonies, provision, protection. We thank the Lord for being all in all our lives. Amen. By the grace of God, last Sunday we established the introduction for the sermon series on the kiss of God's counsel starts with nearness, that a child must be closer to the mother for the mother to embrace and kiss the child, to express the love. And a father, Isaac, who called the son Jacob, and he tells him, you have been speaking, but I can see that you are far away from me. Come near me, my son, and kiss me. So that was the verse that God's grace we meditated on last Sunday around the scripture. What would happen when the counsel of God established? What would happen when the counsel of God leaves the tabernacle? What would happen when counsel of men established? And how the Lord can help all of us to understand from how He guided His vessels in Old Testament and in the New Testament. So today we will start from where we left last Sunday, and may the Lord speak to us through the life experiences of the scripture. Let us all turn your Bibles to Book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Today we will hold on to the Lord's word from the Book of Isaiah, and the whole sermon will be based on Book of Isaiah. Chapter 9, verse 6. Chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder,
And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Verse 7 ends by saying, whatever was spoken concerning the Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, whatever he is going to do, how he is going to establish the government in righteousness, in the judgment of God, but it is all to give the peace of God. And the Lord says it won't be done by the desire of people, the strength of men. It won't be done with the might of people or the might of men. It won't be done by chariots or horses. But the Lord says, I will take care of it. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Another prominent scripture where the zeal of the Lord is explicitly addressed is when Phinehas was used by God to stop the abomination and to stop the plague which was killing people under God's judgment. And the Lord says, for the zeal of the Phinehas, I did not consume Israel today. But it means the zeal of the Lord of hosts took over Phinehas, because he was a ready, empty vessel who perfectly surrendered to God's will at that point of time, irrespective of Moses, Aaron, Eleazar, Joshua. The four famous names are all standing there, but yet the Lord had to use Phinehas, because the zeal of the Lord needs a vessel that is completely surrendered to his will. Not hesitating, not confused, not overwhelmed of what's going on, but rather believing, my God is here and he will take care of it. That is why on that day, the Lord had to touch Phinehas to put an end to the misery. But today, the Bible says, Wonderful Counselor is the name of the beautiful child that is born for all of us. But actually, he was born to die. Now, judgment of his government had one focus, and that focus is to establish the peace of God. Amen? And that peace of God is then established by the zeal of God. That is, the passion, the commitment, the dedication, the faithfulness of God, that I will do this for my children no matter what. Whatever happens, I will take care of my children, I will watch over my children, I will not let them be destroyed by the enemy, but rather I will protect them. In his everlasting mercy, the Lord says, I have the zeal to preserve my children, but the zeal needs a host. God is spirit, and he looked for a man to stand in the gap, and he found none, because man alone, woman alone, the flesh alone is not sufficient to serve God. And we have to be filled by the zeal of God, which is the Spirit of God, in order for the Lord to say, a vessel fostered by my zeal. Then that vessel is ready to serve the Lord. Amen. Now let's start from here and go to 25 verse 1, book of Isaiah. We have to unfold the single word Wonderful Counselor. God's counsel is wonderful, because the beauty of holiness of God Almighty will manifest in God's counsel. Now, book of Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6 says, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. But now I want us to expand this in the same book in 25 verse 1. O Lord, thou art my God. Let's stop it there. Can I say the same verse? O God, thou art my God. But I already called him God. But why should I call him again God? If my son comes and tells me, oh my father, thou art my father. You already called me father. Why are you calling me father again? Oh my father, thou art my friend. Okay, makes sense. Maybe we are like friends. The relationship is going deeper. Oh, my father, thou art like my brother. Oh, maybe you treat me like a brother. But then the scripture says, oh Lord, thou art my God. That is exactly what God told Moses. I am the Lord, thy God. I am Yahweh, thy Elohim. I am the visible, present, what you see now, but I am the eternal Holy Spirit. For God is spirit, he has no form, no gender, he is not bound to anything that human can put him in the bracket. He can't put him in a bracket. He is God and God Almighty. And the Lord says, I am the Lord, thy God. God is spirit, and he was manifest in flesh in the New Testament, and he was justified by spirit, by the power of resurrection. But the true justification was the flesh that was killed for the love that he had for you and me. The agape that he had for us allowed him to sacrifice himself as a lamb, and he offered himself, that is justified. But it is not completed until he sits in a place where he belongs. He ascended because he came down. The Bible says God gave his only son for he loved the world so much. Not the wickedness of the world, because he sees his children were lost in the world. In his agape, he redeems one by one. Now, O Lord, thou art my God. My Yahweh, my Elohim. Amen. Now let's continue. I will exalt thee, I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Why he is called Wonderful Counselor? Why he is called Wonderful? Because his name is wonderful. He does wonders. He does things that our mind cannot comprehend. And is full of love. Whatever that he does, God does in fullness. Now, the Bible says, you have done wonderful things. I will praise thy name, I will exalt thee. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. So may the Lord guide us as we start the sermon from here. The counsel of the Lord is old, which points back to time. Not the time that we calculate, 4,000 years of Old Testament, 2,000 years of New Testament, that's all we know. We are so weak. We are so little that we can only calculate 6,000 years of humanity. Am I right? But when the Lord says old, it goes beyond time. I am, I was, he is, he was, he is to come. Old, faithfulness. And truth. Amen. Last Sunday, what we meditated, righteousness and peace kissed each other. Mercy and truth met each other. In order for us to understand this like a children of God, I want us to imagine four persons standing next to me. One person, Mr. Righteousness, Mr. Peace. They hug and kiss each other like Moses and Aaron. On the other side, one person, Mr. Mercy and Mr. Truth. For instance, Jonathan and David. Friends, they hugged and met each other in the woods because David was hiding. David had the truth of God, for God is going to establish his kingdom later. But because the adversary was trying to kill him, he was hiding in the woods. And the truth was hiding in the woods because David was weary. And God's mercy was walking in the form of Jonathan, who loved David, look, to the point of laying his own life for David. Jonathan found David in the wood, which means the truth was hidden, and Jonathan found God was guiding him. And the Bible says, Jonathan strengthened the hand of David in God's name, which means he lifted up the hand of David. Hand represents the work of David, the deeds. Whatever the Lord is going to do in David's life, David must do. And Jonathan says, you can do it, man. You can do it. You are God anointed, you can do it. He was encouraging David. How many of you had such encounters? You were so down, someone came. You did not invite them. Someone came and told them, it's okay, don't worry. God is with you. They said something that really lifted up your spirit, encouraged you. It is God's favor in your life. Now, David, Jonathan met each other in the woods, in the forest. So let's take it as an example of mercy and truth met each other. Because David needed God's mercy to keep himself encouraged. He was going through a lot of storms in his life. And Moses was going nowhere. And God had to send Aaron to form two in agreement. Moses had the responsibility of establishing God's righteousness. Aaron had the responsibility of making peace with God. Because we were all enemy to his mind. Amen? The high priest made peace with God by offering sacrifices and transformed the enemies into God's children. Book of Romans says, we were enemies to God. Why? As long as we hold on to wickedness, the lust of the world, whatever that doesn't profit God's kingdom, we are God's enemies. Not because in the flesh and blood, but because of what we follow after is God's enemy. Because the enemy of God is not a person. Amen? The enemy of God cannot be a person. And most importantly, the enemy of God can also not be a spirit. Why? There is only one spirit. God is spirit. But when the wickedness rebels against God's blessedness, that wickedness, imagine, is like a plague, like a pandemic, like a disease spread across the earth. But that plague is not a person. It's a wickedness. It goes and has influences clinging onto people's mind and tell them what to do. It's an influence. And the Lord says, my enemy. Because whatever destroys the people of God is God's enemy. The wage of sin is death. Amen? So death is God's friend or enemy. Enemy. Because Jesus Christ said, I will come and destroy the death in the lake of fire. That is the true enemy of God. And that death has another name. It's very decent name, good name. Lack of understanding. My dear brethren, always remember this. Death has a bigger explanation. It's called lack of understanding. Lack of understanding is death. Understanding is life. And what do I understand? I understand who is my creator and who I am. In his word, revealed by his spirit, then I found life. Because understanding is God himself. The knowledge and understanding of the Holy One is life. If I don't understand who is my God, who is my creator, and I go run around all the worldly things, lack of understanding is death. Now, Isaiah chapter 25 verse 1 says, the counsel of the Lord is word, faithfulness, and truth. Amen? Now, verse 2 says, thou hast made of a city and heap, of a different city a ruin, a palace of strangers to be no city, it shall never be built. It says the Lord's way of telling all of us that the city is under my control. Every time you are overwhelmed by things going on around your life, remember this, the adversity cannot go beyond God's control. Because no one is powerful than God. Amen? And verse 2 says, everything is subject to Him. He knows how much pain you can endure. Sometimes you may question, why I am going through pain? But rather, tell yourself, the Lord trusted me that I can endure this much pain and I will obey. Because what will you pay for the pain that He endured on the cross of Calvary? How much you will pay Him? Let's don't go do further to Calvary. Let's just understand who we are. We are in a tiny dust on earth. All the brethren who are born of women, all of you, how much you will pay to your mother for staying in her womb for 9 months? How much rental you will pay? She gave you milk, which is her blood. How much you will pay your mother? Let's don't go through further about God. How much you can pay to your mother that you can tell your mother we are even? None. Even if you give your own life for your mother, you still will die in debt. You can't even pay the debt of your mother. Am I right? How will you pay the debt that the Lord paid on Calvary? And the Lord says, my love is greater than your mother's love. Which means, there is a love that can go beyond what a mother and child experience, what a husband and wife experience, what a father and child experience, what a brother and sister experience, there is a love that is way beyond all of that. And He proved it on Calvary. God was manifest in flesh. I have seen many people who struggle in denominations. They talk about Calvary because it is very sympathetic, right? My Lord suffered for me, you know, He was beaten. They like to say this. The truth is, people like to say, the Lord suffered for me. They want to visualize Him in the tragic state. They feel good about it. Someone died for me. How special I am. Read Calvary, change the name of Christ, and read it, God was manifest in flesh. Then read the entire chapter of Calvary, then you will cry. What do? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Sometimes, you know, that name itself, you know, is very itchy to my ears. Because everybody says Jesus. Oh, Jesus, I love my pen. Oh, Jesus, that's my shoe. Do you really think the Lord is hearing everyone? You call me, you call me, you call me. My brethren, not a single word uttered in flesh will go to heaven. God can't hear it. He won't waste time. He's beyond time. The name of the Lord is holy. Those who understand who He is, cry to Him in that reverence, honor, in that hunger and thirst, in that love. Even if they say, Father, you will hear them. Master, you will hear them. My love, you will hear them. Because He can decode the word. What is the intent behind you? Call me. You can call the Lord in the name of Aramaic, Greek, Hebrew. You can say, that's why you are called. He can't hear you. Because the Lord can hear that is acceptable to Him. Or He will hear something that He will do something about it. That He has a purpose to act on it. For instance, people of Israel murmured against God and the Lord heard. You can ask me, if the murmuring is not holy, then why the Lord heard? Because the Lord is watching them to chasten them, that His chastening will profit something fruitful, which is called repentance. And that repentance will profit something again fruitful, that is called salvation. He has a plan, which is perfect will. Not the plan of man, but perfect will. Now verse 3 says, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee, the city of terrible nations shall fear thee. So the Lord can induce fear in the whole earth by doing something. Imagine suddenly a big cloud form on the sky like a cross symbol and the whole world will become Christians. You see, there is nothing to be argued about. Well, let's all become Christians. Why? There is a big cross on the sky. Then where is agape? Where is repentance? Where is truth? Where is revelation? Where is prayer? The Lord won't do such things. In fact, He will let people to be confounded even more to see who are those who are desperately searching for Him. He wants them. Amen? If God is interviewing, that interview is not for the knowledge people or brilliant people or smart people. There are only one group of people who will pass the interview. The humble ones. As simple as that. Let's don't think too much. The humble ones will pass the test. Now, chapter 25, verse 4 says, thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible one is a storm against the wall. I saw the verse this morning and I felt I should sing this song. I should sing the song. The eye of the storm. That verse is so, so deep. You know why it is so deep? It is because of the previous verse. Now, read the previous verse. It says, therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. Hey, 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 you see? I am a strong child of God. I will glorify the Lord. Because I am strong. Because I am a child of God. Because I am spiritual. Because I am strong. Because I read Bible, you know, that's why I am strong. Because I go to church, that's why I'm strong. You know what the Lord is telling? That is in verse 4. Verse 4 says, thou hast been a strength to the poor and needy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what the verse 3 represents? Those who are poor and those who are needy. And the Lord says, people of strength. Lord, poor and needy. And the Lord says, people of strength. Why? I am the only hope for them. I am the only faithful vessel, the Lord who came and lived for all of us to show us what is friendship, what is fellowship, what is servanthood, what is family. He showed everything and the Lord says, I am the strength. What the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what book of Isaiah says, the people of strength are actually people of poor, the people of strength are actually people of needy, and they are poor, they need my spirit more. They are needy because they need me more. They need me more. Not my gifts. They need me more. If at all you want to ask the Lord something that is not satisfying to you, it must be of His spirit. Lord, give me your spirit more, more, more. Never ever quench your spirit. Ask the Lord, Lord, I need more of you. I need more of you. But the world says, Lord, my bank balance is 5 digit, give me 6 digit. I have the gift of healing, give me gift of prophecy. Oh, I have the gift of deliverance, give me gift of maybe reputation. Is there a gift? Or just create one for me. People ask what God can provide, but they don't ask God Himself. And the Lord says, ask of me. And Jesus says, the Father in heaven, how much more so He will give His Spirit to you if He is watching the birds. Now, the next verse says, thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in a dry place, even the heat with the shadow of a cloud. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Now, this is what I just read in book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 7. The child unto us, a child is born. His name is Wonderful and He is a Counselor. He will establish the government that is upon His shoulder to establish the peace of God. Amen? And how He does that? He will bring down everything that was exalted by itself. And then He will build everything from the scratch. His own mansions and His kingdom. God is the builder of the mansions where we shall dwell in. And before that, there is always a Jericho that will be destroyed to the ground. Before God did many wonderful things to Abraham, before Isaac was born, remember, Sodom and Gomorrah was burned to ashes. Before Joshua and the people of Israel crossed the river of Jordan, remember, Jericho was brought down low. My God, there was always a destruction before the construction. Now, book of Isaiah unfolds about God's counsel. Now, let's stop here and we go to Job chapter 33. Job chapter 33. I showed you the post-mortem surgery of the book of Job few Sundays before. The 42 chapters are actually shared across 5 different names. Job, who was sick, and in his sickness, 3 friends who came. When they came, they were silent for 7 days. Praise the Lord for the wisdom. They were silent, they were quiet. What if they were silent throughout the sickness period? Then the book of Job will have 2 chapters. Chapter 1 and 2nd chapter, God tells everything, everything is okay. But because they opened the mouth, their nakedness was uncovered. And Eliphaz was the first one to open the mouth. Why? I should give some advice. I'm a man of critique. I should give sharp opinions. I should save the dying soul of Job. But why the Lord sent Eliphaz was to uncover the nakedness of Eliphaz. Why the Lord sent Bildad was to uncover the nakedness of Bildad. And why the Lord sent Zophar to uncover the nakedness of Zophar. Because in chapter 1, there was no introduction of Elihu. Only the 3 friends who went and met Job and they stayed with him was sympathizing with his agony. And they were silent for 7 days in sackcloth or ashes. When Eliphaz opened his word, that's it. 30 chapters were born. From Eliphaz, Bildad and Zophar. And if you visualize the entire book of Job, it looks like a courtroom. Job always stand in one side as a victim. And one by one, witnesses come and talk about him and Job is answering them. Eliphaz come, 2 chapters, Job answers 1 chapter. Bildad come, 1 chapter, Job answers 1 chapter. By the grace of God, the Lord will bless us to understand what was the fruit of every single fellowship. When Eliphaz speaks, it means Eliphaz is fellowshipping with Job. After Eliphaz finished the fellowship, Job will be triggered, will be influenced, will just speak something what was the fruit of Eliphaz. Imagine someone gives me a fresh juice, I drink it, either it quench my thirst or it gives me a food poison. You can see from my behavior whether I am becoming more energetic or I am becoming more and more down. You can say that drink something is wrong. And that drink is fellowship. You drink into the fellowship of flesh. That is book of Job. And the Lord will bless us to go deeper as the time goes. But today, I want us to focus on chapter 33. It is easier to remember our Lord and Savior was crucified when he was 33. So just for the benefit of children, remember 33. Now read what Elihu says. Verse 26. Now Elihu is speaking, is challenging. He shall pray unto God and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. Do you see anything wrong? No. But I mentioned this several times. If you read book of Job verse by verse, you will see everything is correct. But if you read book of Job as one whole story, then you can see where the context went wrong. Elihu branch was protruding away from the vine, not abiding. Zophar branch was also protruding away from the branch, not abiding. Bildad the branch was also protruding away from the vine, not abiding. And God came and said, my wrath kindled against thee. And he tells Job, you pray for them. And Job prayed. What is the typical classic answer? Job prayed. The three friends were healed. No. But the book of Job says, Job prayed. God restored Job from his captivity. What is his work? Because his friends came for him. And the Lord judged them together for blessing. He did not destroy them. He blessed them. Amen? The end of Job was not a destruction. The end of Job is all about restoration. The Lord made things right. But before that, he let all the flesh be uncovered, nakedness, so that everybody understands that without God speaking to us, we are nothing but sounding brass and cymbal. So much noise, but means nothing. Makes no sense. Now Elihu says, verse 27, he looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, it profited me not. I love this. Job says, if anyone tells the Lord, I was wrong, and the Lord will hear him. As simple as that. And verse 28, he says, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, that is death, which is the enemy to God, the lack of understanding. And his life shall see light, that is understanding, which is Christ himself. Paul, the sincere Jewish soldier, was going from Jerusalem to Damascus, or Damascus to Jerusalem. There are two journeys that Saul made, very interesting journey. One before he became an apostle, one after he became an apostle. Before when he became an apostle, Christ met him directly and told him, why are you persecuting me? But after he became an apostle, apostles stopped him, don't go, Apostle Paul, if you go to Jerusalem, they will kill you, Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul said, thank you very much, good night. He went to Jerusalem. Because he already had an encounter in his journey before he knows that he must go suffer and die. Now, here in this journey, what the Bible says is the Lord can change the course of our life. We are falling into death and the Lord can change it into life. But how he did it, he showed the light. Like how Saul experienced the light that was he couldn't comprehend. He became blind. That light. We were all blind to spirit, open in eyes. But when Christ revealed the light to all of us, the Lord said, I open your understanding to see me, for God is spirit. To do that, our eyes should be shut to the right side. Our eyes should be shut to the left side. Like how the heart is guided with something to block his eyes to stay focused in it. So I can't see what is flesh in right. I can't see what is flesh in left. But I see what is in spirit straight. Because the word of God is straight. Narrow path is like a double-edged sword, not crooked. Now here, verse 31 is the beautiful lesson for all of us. Mark well, O Job, hearken unto me, hold thy peace, and I will speak. Now may the Lord guide us. This is the title of today's sermon. Hearken unto me. What was the title of last Sunday's sermon? Come near me. Come near me. Now today, hearken unto me. Now, Elihu is speaking, but he is giving us two-stage approach of what is hearken unto God. First he says, hold thy peace. Amen. Do you see that? As I read, you can read the verse. It says, hold thy peace. If not, you cannot hearken unto God. Step one. Because God speaks in stillness. He don't speak when you are noisy, when you are completely in an unstable mental state. He speaks when you are stable. Because he can't waste time. He speaks once. Amen? Hold thy peace. Second, Elihu says, I will speak. So, hold thy peace to be able to listen to God's voice. Because he is going to speak. But Elihu says, sometimes you may not. You may reject. You may rebel because of a stiff-necked attitude. He says, if thou has anything to say, if you don't agree, if you want to argue, confront, if you have anything to say, answer me, speak. For I desire to justify thee. So what is the word hearken unto me? The Lord says, I desire to justify thee. My brethren, if we are not justified in spirit, do you think the crown of glory will be placed on your head? Never. So what is the next step? He says, the Lord wants to justify thee. Not you justify thyself. The Lord wants to justify thee in spirit. And it is called the desire to justify thee. That is what Book of Isaiah says. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. Because the Lord has a desire for all of us to be saved. Because Ezekiel says, I don't want anyone to perish. I want everyone to be saved. That is God's desire. But the problem is people don't listen. That is people's unfaithfulness. Rebellious, prideful, boastful attitude. Which even tell them, don't repent even when you die. Because for them, that rebellion is life, not submission. That is why they chose to die. Living and dying for rebellion. Now, hold thy peace, I will speak, that is first. But Elihu said, if you have anything to confront, speak, let me listen. Am I right? You know what? How beautiful our God is. He listens to you more than you listen to Him. We don't listen to Him. We always speak to Him. But He listens to us all the time. Because why? A good leader is a good listener. So God listens. That is why He says, if you have anything to say, He tells Jacob, or Jacob, come and contend with me. Come and challenge me. Because He can take the position of advocate. Then you can challenge with Him. If you are in a righteous spirit. But don't challenge with Him, thinking that you are also an advocate. He will burn you. Content within means if you have anything that you don't understand, in your humbleness, come and ask me, I will answer you. Now, next Elihu says, if not, if you have nothing to confront or argue or contend with me, if not, he repeats again, hearken unto me, second time, hold thy peace, again he repeats, hold thy peace, I shall teach thee wisdom, hallelujah. What is the fruit of hearken unto me? The Lord says, I shall teach thee. Wisdom. But the problem is, the Lord says, I will teach thee wisdom. But what do you want? Give me wisdom. Am I right? But the Lord says, I will teach thee wisdom. It is skill and understanding, not a gift. Do you see wisdom as a gift of God in the scripture? Book of Hebrews says, exercise. Now, the Lord says, I will teach thee wisdom by throwing you into storm after storm after storm and throwing you down into valley of trials after trials after trials, pain after pain after pain, and you will be wise. Why? You will understand God more. You will understand Calvary more. You will experience His love more. Why? Mother will comfort the child that cries in pain. Mother will chasten the child that screams in rebellion. This one you want, you can choose. Now, I shall teach thee wisdom. But he did not say this in the step one. He said, hold thy peace, I will speak. If you don't listen to me, first vomit first. You vomit everything first. So that you have nothing to say. Then I will speak. Why? God wants to empty you first. So that if there is any nakedness in you, if there is any filthy, poisonous thoughts in you, He wants you to vomit first. So that you are empty. Then He can pour out His Spirit in the new vessel. Amen? He won't mix poison with the food of life. That is why He always let us to manifest to our flesh. Happened to Peter in a more deeper manner than anyone you can read in the scripture. Four Gospels, Peter was spectacle. He was put into shame by addressing his name for all the mistakes he made. But actually, you don't understand. The word Peter means Peter and disciples. Peter and disciples. Peter and disciples. The other 10 were never better than Peter. God just bundled them, Peter and co. Peter and co. Peter and group. Why? He can't put his name with them. He is holy. In him there is no darkness. He led them to learn from him. Now, what we read in Elihu, hearken, hearken, twice, am I right? Now let's turn the scripture to Isaiah, because Isaiah is the center of focus for all of us today. Chapter 51, book of Isaiah. And we will end this with a painful example which can happen to you today. Can happen to all of us any day. Chapter 51, verse 1. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. So now, this hearken unto me means, I'm going to speak, listen to me, and obey me, and follow what I'm saying. Ye that follow after righteousness. Righteousness and peace kissed each other. Mercy and truth met each other. Amen? Now verse 2 says, look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. Why the Lord says, I called Abraham alone? Did the Lord call you because of a family? Did the Lord call you because you are in the church? Did the Lord call you because you carry Bible? Did the Lord call you as a group or alone? He called you by name. Lucy, come to me. Zoe, come to me. He called everyone by name. That is why you love Him. That is why you are sitting here. Or else you could be running after the world somewhere doing something. Absolutely nonsense. But the Lord said, come. And you came. Why? He called you by name. You could not stop obeying Him. And the Lord said, I call Abraham alone. And Sarah Bardi, which is pointing to the promised son. And He says, verse 3, for the Lord shall comfort Zion, He will comfort all her waste places, and He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord, that is Eden. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. What is this verse? Why the Lord speaks this? This is a response of, first hearken unto me. So we need to go deeper in book of Isaiah 51. First hearken unto me, the Lord talks about comfort. Am I right? So let's you write the word. The Lord wants to comfort you. And the Lord says, hearken unto me. Just listen to me what I say. If you listen to Him and the Lord says, I can comfort you. Do you know the comfort of God you cannot buy, you can't search and find? You can strive all your life, but the comfort of God you can't buy. It has to be given. And you can't pay. It has to be given in your absolute emptiness and tell the Lord, Lord, I am not worthy to receive the comfort, but Lord, if at all, can you show mercy upon me? When He touches you, you will feel a joy, a confidence, an assurance that your lips will find difficult to explain. That is the comfort of God. Now verse 4 says, hearken unto me. Stage number 2. Again the Lord says, hearken unto me, my people, and give ear unto me. Because not everyone who hears the Lord, they can't understand what the Lord says. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto churches. Amen? But the Bible says, he that has an ear. It is called singular. In the scripture, whenever you read the word, the eye of God, is it mentioned as two eyes or one eye? There's an eye watching you. You sing a song? Did you sing a song, there are two eyes watching you? There is an eye, one, watching you. The eye types, the Spirit searches all things. Amen? One Spirit. If it is one Spirit, so do you think God has 2 ears to listen to you? And there is an ear listening to you. Because Spirit is formless. It's like air that I breathe. Light that I see. It has no shape. He that hath an ear, the one who received God in his heart, let him hear what the Spirit, God Himself, speaketh unto the churches. If you need to hearken unto God, you should have God in you. Amen? All of us should have Him in us. Because the Lord says, I dwell in thee. Only then we can hearken unto Him. That is why the book of Psalms says, He is close to contrite spirit and broken heart, because blessed are those who are poor, blessed are those who are needy, and the book of Isaiah says, He shall be the strength of the poor, He shall be the strength of the needy, because they surrendered, they accepted. Now the next verse, it says, verse 4 continues by saying, O my nation, for a law shall proceed from me, but I will make my judgment to rest for a light of the people. That is the word of the Lord, which will establish the will of the Lord. Verse 5, my righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and mine arms shall judge the people, the isles shall wait upon me, and mine arm shall they trust. One. Amen? One arm. When Christ resurrected, the Bible says, He is seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen? But the Lord says, mine arms, plural, shall judge thee. This should immediately remind you, Moses was judging people alone, and Jethro came, he divided the judgment into 72 vessels, 6 per tribe, 12 tribes each, 72 elders were appointed, and the judgment of God was passed down to 72 elders, but yet the righteous judgment was always upon Moses. Arms judge people, but one arm to judge the nation, because there is only one God, one judge. Amen. Now, we will all go there, but let's continue verse 6. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heaven shall vanish away like a smoke, and the earth shall wax old like garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Anyone, have you thought about this verse? Why God said, look up to heavens, heavens is plural, and look down on earth? Whatever that you see now will destroy, will be destroyed. The Lord said, I will destroy the heavens, plural. I will destroy earth, singular. And all those who dwell, which means all those means, those who dwell in earth and those who dwell in heavens, because it cannot be separated, right? In eons of time before, when Lucifer fell, did he fall alone or he fell with one third of his army? Because Revelation says he fell with his army. Not all of it, some stood there. But some who chose to follow him, they fell with him. Am I right? Fallen angels, let's say. So whatever that embrace wickedness, if we don't want to be circumcised from the wickedness, everything will be just to death. The lake of fire, the Lord will destroy wickedness. Amen? And the Lord says, if you can set your eyes on things above, which is the author of salvation, God, who sits in his throne, in heaven, singular. Amen? My brethren, the word of God is always pointing to one Lord, one God. One. Amen? One word. But today, why there are many divisions, why there are many divinations, why there are many denominations, why there are many people falling into the worldly traps? Because the word of God lost its aleph, that is one. People adapted into different flavor, different culture, different style. It became the word of men. The words of men will always be destroyed. Because the word of God came from heaven, not from men. In the beginning there was word, and the word was with God. Let's draw the line there. And the word was God. Amen. We stop it there. Now, look at the next verse. It goes to the third stage of another hearken unto me. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose the heart is my law. You see how the words are changing, like how we are changing from glory to glory. First, hearken unto me, verse 1. Those who follow after righteousness. Amen? Third, hearken unto me, those who know the righteousness. Hallelujah. How come? It changed? Because the Lord called another hearken unto me in between. He revealed the purpose why you should listen to me. There are three times hearken unto me is uttered in the book of Isaiah in those 7 verses. First time, to call the people to follow after righteousness and tell them, I will give you rest, I will give you comfort. Amen? First one. Second time the Lord says, hearken unto me. He says, my people, receive my wisdom to listen to my voice, to listen to my word, to discern my spirit. He says, give your ear to me. Give your life as a sacrifice to me. It's a calling of living sacrifice. And he says, it's a warning. My righteousness is near. Now, to get down Isaiah 51, there are 3 times hearken unto me was addressed. Amen? But all 3 times is focusing on one single word, righteousness, but in a 3 different manner. First time, follow after. Amen? Second time, it is near to you. Third time, those who have it. Hearken unto me, verse 7. Ye that know righteousness, that means you received it. First time, it was not near to you, and the Lord says, follow after me, follow the ark. Second time, and the Lord says, salvation is near, you are near to me. Third time, it has been imputed to you. The faith of Abraham was counted for his righteousness. Now, first sermon, Isaac tells Jacob, come near me, my son, kiss me. Can you see the three steps here? First, Isaac says, come near me, follow after righteousness. Second, kiss me, you are near to me. Third, receive my blessing. Isaac blessed Jacob. Have the righteousness. Know the righteousness. Now, let us reflect this from a different perspective. How many times Peter denied Christ? Three times. Let us go in reverse. Peter had the love of Christ. Peter had the presence of Christ. Peter had all the sermons, all the knowledge of Christ. He witnessed the Garden of Gethsemane. He witnessed the Mount of Transfiguration. He witnessed child coming to life. He witnessed so many things. Peter had the testimony of Christ. He denied, number one. Why? He was scared of his body to be tormented by suffering, pain, shame, nakedness. So he denied Christ in his body first. Second, Peter, who was near to the Lord, he was near to some fireplace, escaping from everyone. But he was not near to the Lord, he was near to his very own counsel, his flesh. He was counseling with himself, how can I escape? How can I escape? How can I escape? What is it that killed me? Someone came and asked him, he denied. He is getting more and more far away from Christ. Third time, the Lord told him, if there is anyone who desires to follow me, Lord, I am the first. My name is Peter. My name was Simon, but you surnamed me Peter. In Mark chapter 3. Lord, you surnamed me Peter. Peter, 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 I'm Peter. I'm Peter. Because there are two Simon, that's why. Simon the Canaanite and Simon the Peter. So Peter don't want the Lord to mistakenly call some other Simon. Lord, Simon the Peter, the special one. I will never deny you, Lord. I will die for you. That Peter. And the Lord says, if anyone who has a desire to follow me, because I have the desire to save you. If you have the desire to follow me, deny thyself, take up thy cross, follow me. That is the first hearken unto me. Follow me, Peter, follow me. You can. And Peter said, nay. You told me to deny thyself. So I denied the Peter in me. I became the Simon I was. Because Simon was not the Peter in the beginning. He was Simon. And the Lord changed the name Simon the Peter. That name change was not sufficient. The Lord was showing mercy. He changed again Peter the apostle. He could not change anymore. Why? The word apostle came with the Holy Ghost. Once he was ordained, he is ordained to the life and death. Now, Peter denied Christ for the body. Peter denied Christ for the soul. Peter denied Christ for the spirit. The last denial, my brethren, was more painful to the Lord more than to Peter. Why, Peter, you also, three times, stab me in the back. Because the first time, Peter could not come to his senses because of body, flesh is weak. Second time, he preserved soul. He could not come to senses. Why? Lord says, do not fear those who will destroy your soul, body, but fear the one who will destroy your body and soul. Peter did not fear both. He denied twice. And the third time, he denied. And when the Lord's warning, third time, you know, the crowd gave the sound, he remembered what the Lord said in spirit. Then he was broken. Oh, me! The man who slept in Garden of Gethsemane, me. The man who told the Lord, can I make three tabernacles? Me. The man who was walking on the ocean, looking around, was scared, then started sinking down, me, the Peter. Me, the Peter. He understood what the Lord said. And that is what you see in the book of Isaiah. Hearken unto me in your body, in your soul, in your spirit to love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all of it. Hearken unto me is not to listen to what the Lord says, is to live what the Lord said. That is hearken to Him. Live what I said. Faith, hope, love. Amen? Among these three, what is the greatest? Love. Why? You need faith to believe in God. You need hope to endure the suffering, have a hope of eternal glory, something to live for. But you need love to exist in the first place. In these three, body, soul, spirit, do you see spirit? Which type? God. Amen? In faith, hope, love, do you see spirit? Love. Which type? God. Is actually the same. Peter denied the faith of God. Peter denied the hope in God. Peter denied the love of God that is shown in Christ. He denied Christ. Faith, hope, love. When he denied the last, greatest love, he was broken. Faith, hope, love. Body, soul, spirit. Hearken unto me, follow my righteousness. Come near to my righteousness, receive my righteousness. It's all the same. Sight of sin. Amen? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, they were never ever separated in the book of Daniel by telling Shadrach said this, Daniel listened to this, Meshach said this, Abednego said this. They were not given a chance of having their own say. Because God bundled them, my three brothers. Whatever they say, whatever they did, it was like one. But in the book of Job, Eliphaz, hey, my chapter, how was it? So far, not up to my level, man. You know, this guy Bildad, he is not up to our level. Eliphaz and Sobar are best. Bildad is okay. And Bildad would say, hey, Bildad and Zobar are best. Eliphaz is okay, and Eli is watching all of them. Oh my. He waited for 30 chapters to unleash his vengeance of the Lord. Because he became a host. That doesn't give Elihu, you see, I'm like Pinhas, and the Lord will judge him on the spot. Because when the Lord uses you, you don't even know. It's not in your premeditation. It's not in your preparation. It's called submission. Now here, hearken unto me is unfolded in three different layers. Amen? We need an example to justify this. Why? The Lord says, come near to me, I will justify thee. You know what people will say, they don't come near to God, they take the Bible. And they Google. To see if there's a way out of the mistake you made. Then you can say, you see. My life is justified. Or they search, is there anything to justify what I said? Then you say, see, justify. Always remember this. Self-justification is self-damnation. Self-justification is spiritual suicide. Justification comes from the one who is in heaven and God is spirit. Because 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, justified by spirit. It did not say justified in flesh. It's two different things. Manifest in flesh. Justified by, in, through, for whom, spirit. But manifest in flesh. Not justified in flesh. Because none of us can be justified in spirit. Because the spirit is from God. And God has to justify us in His spirit. If you justify in your flesh, then we are the daughters of Lot. Daughters of Lot, they wanted to carry a legacy of Lot. Because they thought, oh, Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. We should do something to keep the family line of Lot. Hello? Abraham is alive. He is going to get Isaac. You know, Isaac won't be born. We have to do something for us. So the two sisters, they counseled together with the devil. Why? Two or more agreed in the name of wickedness. And they had a council. They come with a mastermind plan. Let's give wine to the father, steal the gin. They stole the seed of Lot when he was asleep. And the Bible simply washed Lot from the sin, like how Pontius Pilate tried to wash his hand. Lot awake, he knew not what happened to him.
Wow.
Lot had absolutely no role in what the two daughters did. He says, Moabites, Ammonites are not my children, children of my daughters. It's a very strong statement, you know. Which means I take the scripture and I go and preach whatever comes to my heart in my own personal ambitions of making money, controlling people, creating divisions. You are the daughter of Lot, using the word of God. When the Lord went to heaven saying, you will not see me for a while, I go to my Father, your Father, my God, your God. Until then the Holy Ghost will guide you. Without Holy Ghost, whatever we do is nothing but the darkness of Lot creating Ammonites and Moabites. What do you want? Tribe of Judah or tribe of Levi or tribe of Ammon, tribe of Moab? And the Bible says, they serve me with so much knowledge, so much zeal, but no wisdom. What is the wisdom? I will teach thee. It is a lesson, not a one-time teaching to tell the Lord, Lord, I want to pay the tuition fee, I have less money. One time you teach me, I'm a smart student, I will catch like a, you know, like just one attempt. But I'm wiser than God. Why? Because God is teaching for 6,000 years. I can learn one single day. I'm better than God. Let us pay attention to the next verse. Hearken unto me, ye that know the righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law, fear ye not the reproach of men. Peter, don't deny me 3 times. Neither be afraid of the reviling. Peter, don't deny me 3 times. But the Lord did not tell Judas, don't betray me. But he told Peter, don't deny me. Because he tell Peter, you will deny me 3 times, to give a warning to Peter to sow a seed of a possible repentance later. If Lord did not tell Peter, you will deny me 3 times, Peter would simply say, everybody deny, I also deny. But the Lord told him, you will deny 3 times. He sowed the seed for repentance to come. Amen? And not just that, the Lord gave him insurance. I always call it as insurance. Because every one of us, we are all insured to eternity. The blessed assurance of God. And what the Lord told Peter, I have prayed for thee. There are many times I tell this to myself. The Lord prayed for me. Can I say it is sufficient? No. The family of God prayed for me. That is, the Lord said, I have prayed for thee. I will have delivered thee. That is what it means. But when Christ says, I have prayed for thee, it is done. When the Lord says, I have prayed for thee, it is you and me fulfilling the word by praying for one another in his spirit. Because Jesus said, I have prayed for thee. And we are fulfilling what he commanded. Amen? Now let's look at the verse. It says, the moth shall eat them up like a garment, and the worm shall eat them like a wool. But my righteousness shall be forever, and my salvation from generation to generation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is pointing to eternity. Generation to generation. Amen. Now we are in book of Isaiah 51. Now let's unfold this hearken unto me with 2 more verses in same book of Isaiah, chapter 48. Before we go into the example, because God is always about showing what He says. What he's saying. Chapter 48, verse 12, book of Isaiah. Hear ye this, that is how the chapter begins. But now let's go to verse 12. Hearken unto me, O Jacob and Israel, that is a person who became a nation. Amen. Jacob and Israel. My call, my chosen, because God called us. My call. So there are 3. Jacob, Israel, my cult. Now answer me, as a Gentile, are you under the umbrella of the my cult? Isn't it? God called you, right? That's why you are here. And the Lord also gave us the promise of the new city, Holy Jerusalem. Amen? The spiritual Israel, not the physical Israel. Book of Revelation warned all of us, the physical Israel, whatever that we do in our flesh. The Lord has a name for it. Cage of Satan. Synagogue of Satan. But the spiritual Israel, where the glory of the Lord stands. Amen? Now he says here, I am he, I am the first, also I am the last. Mine hand also had laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand stand the heavens. When I call unto them, they stand up together. And the word hand, you can inspire yourself by saying everything was created by him, in him, through him, for him, because the word of God created all things. Amen? That was the word. All ye, blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 14 is an instruction, not an option, not a request, not a choice. All ye, in your body, in your soul, in your spirit, as a whole, as one congregation of God Almighty. All ye, assemble thyself. I'm here. This is the true hearken unto me to God. So what he says, all the Lord gave you, assemble. Not together, but he says, thyself. It means, if you choose to follow me, show me. Walk before me. Amen? Walk before me. You said, I'm your father. I taught you how to walk. Walk before me and show me. Assemble thyself. Your curse. It means, I will not force you. Anything that was implemented by speaking, forcing will never stand. But anything that comes out of deeper self-realization will stand. Amen? Many countries control people by penalty or law and order. If you remove it, then you will see who are the true people of that nation. And I tell you, it will be very, 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 very few. People fear the punishment more than righteousness. If I place CCTV camera on all the corners, you won't sleep. Why? Camera is watching you. As simple as that. Why? People watching me, I should behave well. You know what's the problem with all of us? Most of the time, 99.9% of the time, we think about what people may think about us. We don't think about what God thinks about us. But we misunderstand by saying, what people think about us, also what God thinks about us. That's a big line. If I come to the Sunday service, to the altar, thinking what you will think about me, this ministry will disappear like that. 1 second, gone. What is the intent? One soul at a time must be saved. Someone who is willing to kill himself, kill herself, cut herself, cut himself. Someone is struggling depression in the hands of the devil. That soul will be delivered. For that reason, we all say, blessed be the name of the Lord. We all gather, sing, pray, preach, whatever we do. One soul at a time. Because the Lord is saving, you were that one soul at some point of time. I was that one soul at some point of time. Someone gathered, someone prayed, and the Lord blessed all of us to gather in His congregation. Amen? We were that one soul. Every time we think about why we are fellowshipping, we were that one soul who was falling, and the Lord caught us in His mercy. And there were people interceding for us. Someone praying, Lord. Someone singing, Lord. Kumbaya. Amen? Now let's read the next verse. It says, verse 12 you are reading, and verse 14, halfway through, it says, the Lord hath loved them, he will do his pleasure on Babylon, and his arm shall be on Chaldeans. So now remember, if you look at the book of Ezekiel, the Lord called the children, assemble thyself. Amen? He also told the enemies, prepare thyself, assemble thyself. Isn't it? Why? The Lord is righteous. Many are called, few are chosen. And the book of Hebrews says, forsake not the assembling of thyself. Now, whenever the enemies waged war against the city of Judah, they were assembling armies as much as they can to make sure they can penetrate the different cities. Amen? You see, Tobiah, he was forming alliances to make sure he can go into the tabernacle through Shemaiah, the high priest who betrayed. There was an assembling of adversity, the same way the Lord also assembling his children. Amen? Now, Babylon and Chaldeans. Children of God who were obeyed or taken the captives, they were all assembled in Babylon. Amen? Now, the Babylon itself was also assembled for the mighty fall later by the Persian kingdom, isn't it? Because Cyrus came, they all fell. Enemies also will be assembled by the Lord for him to judge them together. The beautiful example is, just the three names of Korah, Dathan, Abiram, they were able to assemble 250 elders. Can you believe it? Successful campaign. Now the question is, why Joshua allowed this? Why Aaron allowed this? And why God allowed this? Because Moses was always on the mountain. So when the 250 elders were assembled, when the three were who rebelled against God were standing there, and the Lord saw it, today the cleansing process is ready. He was waiting for the last vessel to be added to the assembling process. Imagine if the 249 elders were assembled, the Lord would still wait. You know why? One is missing. What he would say? Jesus Christ will leave all the flock and go for that one last sheep and find and bring it. Amen? That is salvation. The same Jesus Christ, righteous judge, will also wait for the wickedness to be fulfilled, filled up to the brim. Like Amorites, the wickedness was up to their brim. And the Lord judged them. Why? He is righteous. Assemble thyself. The question is, how do we assemble? Imagine those who hated Daniel, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Moses, David, Solomon, Abraham, all the names you read in the Old Testament, including Jesus Christ, they all gathered in a place to assemble, like synagogues. For example, Pharisees, Sadducees, chief captains. They assembled, they were planning some strategy. How can we kill Jesus? But you know what? All their assembling, they were praying. They were fellowshipping. They were singing. Why? After all, they were ordained to do so in the synagogue. But in the name of fellowship, they were growing the child of gossip and rebellion. The child was growing. Unto us, the wicked child was born. Rings a bell? David Bathsheba committed something against God's will, which is David's self-righteous act. Unto them, the child was born. Can you call a child wonderful? You can't. Can you call a child counselor? You can't. Why? 7 days, as the Lord struck, the child died of sickness. Not by sword. Do you really see death is a child that is dying of sickness because of what the Lord did on Calvary? Because he said, it is finished. Death to you and me will be destroyed in the lake of fire. But to the Lord, it is finished. It's a dying child. Lack of understanding, dying child. Your worldly desire, lustful desire, dying child. It will die. But you need the wisdom who will be born of after the proper marriage. The marriage of the Lamb. Amen? The groom shall marry the bride. After the marriage, the groom will come as the husbandman to judge. Have you ever thought the Lord will not sit on the throne of judgment, not before the marriage, but only after the marriage? Why? He will come as a husband. And the wife will do the job what the husband wants her to do. A very simple, plain example is when Pontius Pilate was seated on the throne of judgment, our Lord was going to be judgment man. And the wife of Pontius Pilate came to him and she said, "My heart was troubled of this man. He's a righteous man, don't do any harm." Why the Lord revealed this to his wife? Because they were one in flesh. Amen? Husband and wife. And the Lord blessed them to escape, but yet it is not sufficient if it is not a divine understanding, but rather if it is all because of escaping from sin or death. That is fear of death. If it does not profit them in salvation, pity unto them. But we do not know. We only read what the scripture is given to us. We can believe in all good things. Now let us look into this. Verse 15. I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now this verse, it is applicable to all our life on two sides. Our Lord said, either you shall serve me, or you serve the mammon of the world. On both the sides, there is spiritual prosperity, that you will receive the heavenly riches of God, sufficiency of God, contentment with great gain. On the other side, the worldly thing, worldly riches, you have to reach so many things. But people are confounded, which one is which God's blessing. Whatever that acts your flesh, it is not from God. In order for the spiritual man to remain as a new man, the flesh must be circumcised. Amen? Now, let's go to chapter 46. Book of Isaiah, chapter 46. Verse 3. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. I gave an example of mother and a child. What is there that we can give back to the Lord? That we can tell him we are even. Verse 4. And even to your old age I am he. And even to a whorehouse will I carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. This is called the zeal of the Lord of hosts, who has the desire in his agape to save you, to deliver you, to redeem you in his everlasting mercy and kindness. Amen? Now he says, in your old days I am he. So what the book of Isaiah says, his counsel of old faithfulness and truth. Amen? Not the world of old age of me, because no matter how old you are still a small child to God. A very small child to God who still needs his comfort, his guidance, him to feed you. That dependency, that reliance will let you remain as a child of God. Don't become a grandfather to God. Don't become a grandmother to God. You are a child of God. Amen? Now, verse 9. Verse 9 says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. It's a very striking statement from God. He tells us, looking unto all our faces, my counsel shall stand, I will do whatever it takes according to my will and pleasure. But we ask him, give me the reason. Tell me why. Explain to me why. Who are we? How can we question God, why have you done this? Can he question you back? Why did I save you? What will you answer? Because I'm very, very righteous, I think. I am a very good person. Maybe you could not find a better person than me. You will fall as Satan. If at all we want to contend with God, question him, ask yourself once, if the Lord does this back to you, where you will be? Oh Lord, I can't wait. I need this to be done like this. If the Lord did not wait for you, you will be gone somewhere. Somewhere sleeping in the darkness and the wickedness of the world. The Lord waited for you. 40 years, God waited in the wilderness for the people to cross the river of Jordan. But what people got? how long we should wait for this God to take us around. God asked if they were ready. They were all killed. They were all destroyed. For they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. And the Lord says, hearken unto me. That is secondary. Show us the promised land. They were all destroyed. Why? Could not wait. If the Lord comes and tells us, oh, you are my family, my congregation. You continue to serve me 40 years non-stop. At the end of 40 years, I will give you one soul to be baptized. Will you wait? Will you wait? Oh, brother, I will wait until my death. That is Peter's response. Will you wait? Don't say it. Show it by life. Your life speaks louder than your lips. People say so many things, but in life, absolute shallow, empty, zero. God does not care about what you speak. He watches you from head to toe in spirit, how you live. What sound my life gives. Amen? Patience. Why the Lord saved us? Ask yourself, why the Lord saved us? To serve you mightily. Who are you? Oh, mighty servant of God. Are you sure? 12 disciples, tell me, how many names you remember? How the Lord used them? Have they all been given equal chapters in the book? Do you see 12 Gospels? No. Do you see all of them have a book? No. So can you say God was partial? Can you say? Do you have the audacity to say? Bartholomew, tell me what he did for you. No, I like Peter. I like John. He has book of Revelation. What about the 10? I don't know much about it. Why? Why people love worshipping names. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Let's turn our Bible. Thanks a lot for reminding me this. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Someone should have said the same. And that someone must be the Holy One. And the Mighty One. Now, Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, we read from verse 17. Verse 17 says, and they did eat, and were all filled. Amen? So the Lord gave them what they want. He is a provider. He gives you the provision. He is a provider. And there was taken up fragments of that remained to them 12 baskets. Because His grace is sufficient to thee, and He is your exceedingly great reward. He always gives you more than what you need. Okay? And it came to pass, so He was alone praying, His disciples were with Him, and He asked them, saying, whom say the people that I am? Now answer me why the Lord is asking them. Tell me what the people think about me. For the Lord don't care about what they think about Him. He is not a man who thinks about reputation, good name from people. He is not. But He is asking them a deeper question. The word of I am who I am. I am that I am. My disciples, tell me what people think who I am. Who I am, Lord. Who I am. We sing the song. And the Lord says, tell me what they think who I am. They answering said, when I said they means they were all agreed as one. John the Baptist, some say Elias, but others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. Now three answers were given. Do you think that God was pleasing in heaven? Even John the Baptist version 2? He? Second, Elias. He is Elias to you because you are taken? So people wanted to believe that Elias came back again. Chariot came and took Elias and he was come and die again. Okay, what's the next one? Old prophet risen again. This is a good attempt, right? Some old prophet. Now look at the answer of the Lord. He said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Now the Lord is teaching them, do you know why I called you? He knows what other people think about Him, those who do not know Him yet. He asked them, tell me who I am to you. Now they say, Peter answering said, why the word they answering became Peter in one. Or Peter represents them. Because Peter was mentioned as the first name in the discipleship table. Also, the Lord's promise of rock upon which he will build the church. He is a spectator for both good and bad. He's a wonderful servant of God. Why? He received everything to glorify the name of the Lord. And Peter said, the Christ of God, the anointed of God Almighty, that is God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. He said this from his heart. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing. Hello? Then why you called us? I don't get it. He gave them the right answer and the Lord tells Peter, don't tell anyone. Why? Son of man must be killed. That's why. So are you a liar? No. He hides the truth as a secret to reveal it in the time that is appointed to God Almighty. But these people, they lie. You know why? We lie. We are liars. To save our face, we lie. I didn't do it. The woman you gave me. I didn't do it. The serpent who came to the garden. Oh, not me. Why? We are liars. But the Lord don't lie. He hides the truth. He has, for example, he has two things to tell you. You come and tell the Lord, give me what you want. He looks at you, this will destroy you, you keep this, you will live. But what do you say? You have two? Maybe only one? Lord, be generous, Lord. You will die spiritually. He knows what to give you. He knows your measure. He knows your weakness. He knows your strength. He knows how to feed you. The mother knows when the child is full of no stomach in milk. Overfeeding will kill the child. Amen? Now, after reading this, let's go to Matthew chapter, John chapter 12. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 37. Gospel of John 12, verse 37. Now, let's continue from what the Lord said in Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And let us remember that people live for people. People think about what people think about them. That is the biggest blindness of the world today. Now read this. Verse 37. But thou, he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That means they hearkened not. But he performed so many miracles, but hearkened not. That the saying of Isaiah, that is Isaiah, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which we have been reading today. Which he said, Lord, who had believed our report? Unto whom had the arm of the Lord been revealed? The arm is life, the arm is truth, the arm is life revealed. So the Lord can hide his arm, then he can reveal to you. And the Bible says, humble thyself before the mighty hand of the Lord, because he reveals himself to thee. Now look at the next verse. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he that blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, I should heal them. Can a Lord literally do this? What he deeply revealed to us. He is not doing anything to destroy someone. But when the Lord remains of who he is, his seeds will receive him, will be chastened in his word, will grow. And the wickedness cannot receive him, will resist and rebel, and will grow in weariness and rebellion. Now, Book of Isaiah said this, and the next verse says, nevertheless, verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Verse 42, nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him. My brethren, I repeat this. Many chief rulers, they believed on Christ, But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess. I repeat, many of the children of God, they receive the Lord's blessing, but because of the fleshful Pharisee that is in you, you don't confess. Because Pharisee is not a third person, it is a person who lives in you. Like the Elibas of Job, Sophar of Job, Bildad of Job, who lives in you, the wicked counsel of thy flesh. But because of Pharisees, they confess not. Why? The flesh will never ever let you say, I'm wrong. Why? Flesh loves pride. Flesh loves rebellion. Flesh loves arrogance. Flesh loves stubbornness. Flesh loves impatience. It will never let you confess. And he says, verse 43, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Hallelujah. You see what the word has written? Hearken unto me, the Lord said, but people go for praise of man. Hey, what do you think about me? Out of 10, 7, I will do whatever it takes to make it 8. You, 3. I will come to you later. People want to please people. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Let's read. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. What the Bible says? A very strong double-edged sword instruction. This is like a judgment to all of us. What the book of Galatians says, chapter 1, verse 10. If us, every one of us, as the children of God, and if as a servant of God, and the book of Galatians says, if at all, verse 9, we say, verse 9. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Blessed is he who is poor, blessed is he who is needy, and cursed is he who thinks that he is rich. Cursed is he who thinks that he is not in need of anything. And what the next verse says? But do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Hallelujah. This verse should be a mark in your heart. Why I am in the congregation of the Lord? Is it for someone or for the Holy One? Is it to please one another or to please the Holy Spirit? By saying so, we also cannot say, I will hurt everyone and please the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters, do I exercise myself toward offense toward God and toward men? Apostle Paul said this. Why? God dwells in his children. But people cannot love people to please people, then you will not be the servant of Christ. People serve God and serve God's family in the Spirit of God. Cannot be separated, but the preeminence always to the Father in heaven. Now let's come back to Gospel of John, chapter 12. We were in the verse 39. Let's read that verse again. Jesus Christ says, verse 43, they love the praise of man more than the praise of God. I want all of us to remember this verse in your heart. Next verse. He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. Amen. Now the Lord talks about what is the hearken unto me means. He says, when you hearken unto the word of God, you hearken unto God who is in heaven. That's what the Lord says. And he that seeth me, seeth him that seeth me. But the Bible says, God is spirit, no man hath seen the face of God. Amen. And Jesus says, if you see me, you see him. And what the book of Isaiah says, my Lord, thou art my God. Jesus Christ is God manifest in flesh. Jesus Christ is God justified in spirit. You call him as a Lord because God was manifest in him. And you worship him, praise him, because there is no other name to be praised and worshipped. Then why you worship Christ? Those who believe in Trinity, they come. Why you worship Christ? The Bible says, don't worship anyone, only God. Then why you worship Christ? Calling him second. He is not the second, first and the last. There is no second. Now let's remember this and look at the last word the Lord says, verse 49. For I have not spoken of myself, because a word cannot speak about itself. It speaks the mind, which is the Spirit of God. But the Father did send me, the Spirit that spoke about me, which is the Word of God. He gave me a commandment, the purpose. You take the Bible, you tell yourself, God spoke the Word, and there was a purpose, and that purpose for me to be saved, not just me, and there are many souls ready to be saved, and I will be a meaningful, a useful, a humble vessel, instrument to His glory. Then you have the Bible. The Lord carried the cross on His shoulder, but sometimes we even feel the Bible is heavier to our hands. We don't carry it, we prefer cell phones, isn't it? Why? Convenient. Now the Lord says, verse 45, and I know that His commandment in His life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. Godhead is so beautifully explained. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and God spoke the Word, and we are all created. And now we bow to the Word and serve the Word. And that Word is God, who was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. And because Isaiah says, my Lord, thou art my God. And people who can't see God, you see Him through Christ. People who can't touch God, experience God, you do everything through Him who is Christ. That is what Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things, the deep things of God, through Christ. The only way, the only truth, the only life, people of Israel fail to see. And they still believe a prophet. My heart goes in pain. Can't imagine how they are going to repent when the tribulation comes. When their eyes are opened, it's all going to come and look at them in their face. Did we kill our Prince of Life? The whole earth will be filled with mourning and wailing on the day. May the Lord have mercy. Let's turn the Bible as we close the sermon with an example, as I promised in the scripture, because God is the only promise to all of us. 1 Samuel. There is no other better example of praise of men and praise of God other than Saul, who fell because of reputation. My brethren, if you read the scripture plainly, like buckets, you know, buckets, six water pots of stones, without judging one another stone, you will see Saul looked more righteous than David and Solomon. He never fell for a woman like David did. He never killed a righteous man like Uriah like David did. He never worshipped Astaroth like Solomon did. He never built, you know, like thousands of strange women and the strange God high place like Solomon did. He just lost his counsel to men. And he felt good because he was a goodly looking countenance vessel. Reputation took over him, and the praise of men clouded his eyes from the praise of God. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. Now, let me read 14 first. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 35. I want us to listen to the scripture like hearken unto me, the Lord says, as the Lord says in the scripture, hearken unto Him. Look at the unfolding of events step by step and see what happened to Saul. Chapter 14 verse 35 says, and Saul built an altar unto the Lord, the same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. A first altar Saul built because of some sins revealed in the people of Israel. But his ultimate goal was to overcome Philistines and Amalekites. All the enemies who come against Israel, Saul wanted to remain powerful to overcome them. Now verse 36 says, Saul said, let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them until the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them. And they said, do whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Now let's stop there. Saul is speaking, am I right? Paul is telling, let's go here, let's camp here, let's do this, let's do that. That is premeditation, presumption. But answering why he did not inquire of this from Samuel. It's a battle, right? He could be killed. He could be killed on the spot. Don't forget, the very same Saul killed himself because of very same Philistines later. But this time Saul, in a moment of that power, reputation and everything, he said, let's do this. But the priest intervened. What the priest said? Then said the priest, let us draw near hither unto God. Now in that single verse, there are two people speak. One Saul said, and the priest said. Because Saul was not a priest to God. He became a king of Israel. He forgot he was a servant to God. And the priest said, stop, king. Ask the Lord first. But what Saul said, let us go kill everyone. Don't leave anything behind, right? That's what Saul said. Am I right? Now you see how Saul is confounded. And Saul asked counsel of God. What he was asking? Counsel of God. Am I right? Which is God's wisdom to manifest. So he was asking for the kiss of God. Lord, kiss me, Lord, Urim or Tumim. Nay or A, right or left, Lord, some give me some kiss. Right cheek or left cheek. And the Bible says the Lord answered him not on that day. Why? Paul, today you spoke for yourself, you judge for yourself, you presume for yourself, you are a better king, you will do better without me. Priest intervened, Saul asked for counsel, the Lord did not answer him. Verse 38. Saul said, draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein the sin hath been this day. Hey, something is wrong. Oh, congregation, come. God is not answering me. Some one of you is wrong. Even if it is my son, Jonathan is wrong. Even if it is me who is wrong, let the Lord judge all of us. Saul went into a state of self-destruction in a moment. But did God tell him, see Jonathan? Did God tell him? No, the Lord answered him not. When the Lord answered him not, it means stay quiet, be patient, wait. Now Lord became disquiet. Which is Saul, who was the Lord of his very own life. We can say the Lord is the master, but is it a master of your life, master of your heart? Two different things. Do you know why Saul told David, put on my armor? Because Saul wanted to make sure that he don't lose the limelight. Actually, people can say, useless David used mighty armor of Saul, became useful. Hey, Saul. Hail, Saul. And David said, nay, I go with the stupid stone. Because the Lord said, he chose the foolish things of the world to put the wise to shame. And on that day, all the wise were put to shame. Now, in that violent, aggressive, arrogant attitude of Saul, you know what happened? I read the verse 44. Verse 44, Saul answered, God do so and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan, his very own son. Father wants to kill the son. Why? I will do anything to clean the camp. Are you a high priest? That is the role of a high priest. Amen? Saul was not a high priest. But he became presumptuous in his own way, in his own counsel, because God's counsel left him. And now I want you all to draw a parallel of exactly what happened to Naaman and the servant. Now in this place, Elisha, Samuel, Naaman, Saul. Servant of Saul, servant of Naaman. Amen? Look at the next verse. And the people said unto Saul, shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid. And the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground. For he hath wrought with God this day. So the people rescued Jonathan that he die not. Hallelujah. When Naaman compared the river of Jordan, the waters of Israel, with Aparna and Pafar, you know, Pafar in the land of Damascus, he compared Israel with Damascus because Naaman is a Syrian. He served king of Syria, a nobleman, a good man. But when he told Elisha, your God, that is what God wants to solve it. you accept Him as your God, our God. But He was focusing on physical leprosy. But spiritually, He don't even know who is the Creator. But servants of Naaman said, don't do it. Obey the prophet's word. Go and wash yourself in Jordan 7 times. Amen? Now here, Saul was about to kill Jonathan. People said, don't do it. God forbid. Don't do it. People saved the son from father. And Jonathan saved David from the father. Amen? David received mercy of God from Michal, from Jonathan, from everyone. So David knows how to stay humble. Why? His life could have been very just like that, but God saved him out of against all the trials. Now, verse 46. Then Saul went up from following the Philistines, and the Philistines went to their own place. That was happened on that day. The anger of Saul, the righteous act of Saul, doesn't mean anything. It didn't materialize. But what happened deep inside of Saul is he was waiting for the vindication from Prophet Samuel. If Samuel come and tell what exactly Saul said, then all the people may say, oh, Saul, great prophet, same as Samuel. Oh, Saul, God is with you mightily. You know what Samuel said? Chapter 15, verse 1. Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people. Samuel is warning Saul, you are going to fall. Because whenever a prophet of God talks about something in the past, it means you are going to fall. Remember this. When Samuel said, the Lord sent me to anoint thee, Saul forgot. That's what Samuel is reminding him. Do not think of yourself highly more than who you are. When Samuel said this, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Then verse 2 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember what that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek. Is it Philistines or Amalek? Now tell me, in the previous chapter, Saul was aiming Philistines. I will never leave not one of them. I'll kill all of them. That's what Saul was thinking. Now Samuel says, go for Amalekites. When he said this, Samuel gave a command, destroy all of them. Amen? Now look at the fruit of counsel of men. 10th chapter, verse 13. Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. He is lying. When the prophet of God came near to King Saul, my brethren, look deeply, Samuel did not speak yet. He has not started speaking yet. Am I right? And Saul jumped again, same as Peter. Tell Samuel, oh, blessed be of thy God. What a prophet you are. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. At that point of time, Saul is a liar because he did not perform the God's commandment. Because Revelation says, if you take one word out of what God said, if you add one word to what God said, all the plagues shall fall upon thee because it is not the commandment of the Lord. Amen? And the next verse says, Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears? Who is causing noises in my ears? What is this useless noise coming to my ears? And he says, the lowing of oxen which I hear. And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen and the sacrifice to the Lord God, thy God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed, being so smart. Samuel, I'm a good king. Economically, I'm improving the country. I took the best of the best from the enemy's hand. And the Lord said, leave nothing. That is your familiar spirit. Leave nothing of thy familiar spirit until it is completely destroyed. So, why Saul fell? Familiar spirit, not me. 1 Chronicles say it explicitly. Now remember this. Saul made adjustment to what God said. Am I right? And Samuel was angry. He said, your kingdom shall fall. And how he said that? Verse 16. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay. And what God tells Daniel? Stand thy Lord. And now Samuel tells Saul, stay. And I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. Samuel did not tell Saul, come near me. Just stay where you are. You are a disgrace to what God called you. Just stay where you are. Because then last time when God tells stay, to Moses, tell the people to stay where they are. Don't tell them to come and touch the mountain or I'll burn them. He said that. Now, Samuel says, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Therefore, you did not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the soil and did evil sight of the Lord. And this verse you should see from 1 Chronicles. Let's all stand as we close the sermon. 1 Chronicles chapter 10. What happened here was beautifully explained in a deeper manner in spirit. 1 Chronicles chapter 10 verse 13. Now remember two verses. So Saul died for his transgression which he committed against the Lord. Now ask yourself, what was the transgression he committed? Was it worse than killing Uriah? Was it worse than worshipping Asherah? Was it worse than marrying 1,000 women? What transgression Saul committed? Even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not. Okay, number one, stage one. And also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it. And he inquired not of the Lord, therefore he slew him. I thought Saul fell to his own curse. What does it mean, therefore he slew him? And turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. But when he began the sermon, the Lord reminded us in the last part of the Daniel series, when the Lord says, stand thy Lord, Prophet Nathan told David, mercy departed Saul, and you stayed truthful, and my mercy shall depart not from thee. Amen. Now here the scripture says, Saul committed a transgression, which is to feed familiar spirit. To eat and drink into the counsel of familiar spirit. Now as it closes service today, ask yourself, all the decisions you have made, all the words you have said, all the action that we have performed, is there a small breach, a small drop of poison in the cup of a milk called familiar spirit? Then everything that God can bless us, all of us with, which is His counsel, hearken unto me, it means, listen to what I say, do what I say. But familiar spirit will say, hearken unto me. Hearken unto me. I am your flesh, I am your face, I am your reputation. But Jesus said, people serve me for the praise of men. They don't serve me for the praise of God. Why David is called the man who was my other own heart? Because David served for the praise of God. Paul did for the praise of men. May the Lord guide us as we close the service today. Shalom and God bless you all. Let's sing the song. The song, Hear My Cry, O Lord. Brother Will can sing the song for us. Let's pray and close. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Whenever we sing songs unto thee, O Father, we always say, hear our petition, hear our cry. But Lord, may you bless all of us today to hear your voice, to hear your commandment, to hear your instruction, to hear your leading, to hear your guidance, to hear your wisdom, to hear your teaching. And Lord, hear our petition of Father, that may we all hearken unto thy voice, thy spirit, thy leading, thy word, that we may all live a life where your establishment of wisdom is glorified for your name, and where we all follow after your righteousness, where we all stand near to your righteousness, and where we all kissed by the righteousness and peace in our life, that we may all be the place of meeting, place of fellowship, of mercy and truth. For you are so faithful in all our lives. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name, we all pray. Amen and amen. Shalom. God bless you all.